is dear to my heart. It should be, amen. It's going to be entitled, Why You Believe in Jesus Christ. Why You Believe in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10. Let's go ahead and stand, my brothers and sisters in Christ, in respect of the reading of the Holy Word of God. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. I'm going to tell you something. I'm just glad I'm saved. I'm happy I'm saved. I just can't get enough of God. There's been times in my life I just want to shout. There you go. We got one back there. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eddie. You woke up some of the Mossback Baptists back there. I appreciate that. That's okay. Calm down, son. I'm just teasing. Amen. But it's good to be in church. Y'all pray for me because I think I might have put too much gunpowder on my eggs this morning. Amen. I'm just joking with you. Amen. Acts chapter 10, let's look at verse 1 there. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, a band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he had looked on him, he was afraid. And he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Thy prayers of thy arms have come up from a memorial before God. And now send man to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He should tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now, let's for a second time, let's drop down to verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up and saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many. Now look at your verse there, and found many that were come together. And so there was a group of people there at Cornelius' house. Y'all with me? Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly gracious Father, I love you, Father. And please allow me to be a blessing to your people, Father. And as we proceed with this message that you laid upon my heart, dear God, I need you, Father, is to speak through me and use me as a tool. In a mouthpiece, Father. And may your spirit have its way with us. And I pray that we came here with the right spirit today, Father, to be willing to learn from you, Father. In God's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated, please. Now let me give you a thought that I believe that will help us to understand what's happening to this particular person that we're about to read about in a moment. What would you do if a group of people that has gotten together in a house, maybe a family, friends, co-workers, just a few folks has gotten together. And now these people were not Christians and they was unbelievers, but they had gotten together and they called you. They called you. They called your number. Now you may wonder, how in the world did they get my name? How did they get my phone number? Well, the story we're about to read, an angel gave it to them. Here in this story, y'all with me, right? But somebody gave it to them for you. And they called you and they asked you to get together with them and invited you over to their home so that you could share with them why you believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, there's never been a time in the history of the church where it's been more important than people to be willing and ready to answer that call. I love 1 Peter 3:15. Amen. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready. We ought to. If you're truly saved, you ought to be ready to give an answer of the hope, the reason that Christ is living in you. Amen. Amen. Why do you believe in Jesus? Let me ask, apart from my own testimony, would your testimony be enough to convince them that you believe, that you do believe in Christ Jesus? And has he made a difference? Now listen, teenagers, y'all pay attention. Has he made a difference in your lives? You see, that's exactly what happens in our story. And his name is Peter. And there was a man named Cornelius. And he was a Gentile. And we know he was an army officer, outstanding man, and lost. He was lost, but he was very well known in his community. And he had a vision. We're talking about Cornelius. He had a vision from God, a kind of universal vision. An angel had came to him and told him to send for Simon Peter. And Simon Peter is going to tell you how you can be saved, how you can know for sure that you go to heaven when you die. Amen? Now, what's interesting is, on the other side of this story, Peter was being dealt with by an angel as well. And could I tell you that's how the Holy Spirit works today? Amen? He works on both ends of the telephone line, if you may. He's working the heart of someone who needs Jesus. He's bringing perhaps conviction to you, awareness of your condition. Maybe it's because of a mother's prayer or a grandmother's prayer, amen, or some co-worker praying for you. But there had been a seed that has been planted, amen? Like the situation I came across, and many of them, this happened a couple of years ago. There was a young man about the age of 23, and he was from California. Now, catch this. Now, he was leaving for California the next day. And I've been out door knocking, but I was just passing this street up, and all of a sudden I had a burden to turn down this street. And all of a sudden I had a burden to go to this man's house. And just out of nowhere, I just ended up knocking on his door. And make a long story short, this man accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior that day. Amen. He was there, believe it or not, just visiting friends, and he was on his way back to California the next day. Why was he there at that house at that time? Why was I there at that house at that time? The same reason that Peter and Cornelius got together. The same reason why God brought Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch together. And it's all because of the providence of the Almighty God. And I tell you this morning, God will convict. He'll convict you of your wrongs, your doings, your sins. Amen. And I tell you what, as I stated 2-3 times this past month, not only that you have the Word of God convicting you, and that's why we need to be in that Holy Word to read, and to study up and get to know God more, amen. But you have the Holy Spirit, if you truly say, you have the Holy Spirit in you, convicting you. This is wrong, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that. And maybe this morning, he's telling you, hey, you need to get saved. Amen. And all he needs is a willing servant. That's what it's about. And this story, there's no doubt in my mind we're going to see that. We're going to see that this morning, how the Holy Spirit convicts Cornelius and his whole household. Amen. So Cornelius, what he did was he brought all of his servants together in his home, and he brought his friends together, and he may have brought some family members together. And all of a sudden, here walks in Peter, all the way from Caesarea. And he comes in and Cornelius says this, "Tell me, Peter, why you believe in Jesus Christ." And that brings us to the story. Let's look together at Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. He just walked into the house. "Tell us why you believe in Jesus." And Peter opened his mouth and said this, "Of the truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Verse 35, "But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Now right from the start, Peter makes sure that Cornelius knows, though he may be from a different culture. Now let me stop right there. God is no respecter of persons. Y'all agree with me? Amen. It's not the matter of race, but it's a matter of grace. Amen. It's the grace of God. It is by the grace of God that, hey, I'm saved. Amen. It's by the grace of God, I pray that you're saved too. Every woman, every child can turn to the Holy One of Israel. It's by the grace. And it's got to be through the eyes of faith. You got to trust them. From the hearing of God's word. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so Peter goes from the point to give some evidence as to why we know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And why Jesus is the only one that can save a soul from a devil's hell. And why he's the only way to heaven. And he begins to give this evidence of that fact as he stands in this home and begins to share with Cornelius and friends and family why Jesus is Lord. Now I want you to see a couple of things here this morning. First of all, you'll find in Acts chapter 10, verse 39, there's a personal witness from the true Christian. There is a personal witness from the true Christian. A personal witness of the saints. And by the way, this morning, if you're saved, you are a child of God. You are a Christian. Now, your wife may not think so. You're either a sheep or a goat. Amen? By trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's how you become a Christian. And becoming a Christian comes with it responsibilities. Amen? And you'll see that here in this story. Verse 39, let's look at it together. Peter said, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did." Witnesses, witnesses. Peter said, "I want to begin today, Cornelius, by sharing with you that I'm a witness for what Jesus Christ did." Now, if you remember in the scriptures, there was 11 of them that was witnesses, excluding Judas Iscariot, who was y'all know he wasn't a believer. And all 11 of them had a living testimony that was indisputable. Amen? And I hope this morning that every believer in this room is a witness. Not necessarily that we saw Jesus walk physically on this earth, but because by faith we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And everywhere we go, we are a witness. And we're testifying to a fact now that Jesus Christ saves. In other words, we are people, listen, we're a people that are someone can look at and say, "Hey, I bet she's a Christian. Hey, I bet he's a Christian. I perceive that they know Christ." And by the way, can they see the marks of Jesus off of you? Are you truly saved? How's your speech? How's your communication? Oh, it's good to be in church, but we all dress up for church. But what happens when we walk out those doors? Are you a living testimony for the cause of Christ? Can they perceive that you've been with Jesus Christ? Has there been a change in your life? Amen. And that's a good start for somebody to perceive that because of your witness and your testimony. And by the way, I've always said what hurts the testimony of Christ, what hurts the testimony of a church is of someone claiming to be saved and living like the child of the devil. Living like the world. Listen, we're all hurting. Our churches, listen, Christians as a whole, we're literally hurting the cause of Christ because, listen, people outside those doors are judging us by how we perceive Christ. And if we're living and spotted up by the world, they're saying, "If that's Christianity, I don't want it." We're hurting our testimonies, church. And I think it's time for us to stand up for the cause of Christ. Amen. That's why our society doesn't have any confidence in the church anymore. And I want every sinner to know that's not true Christianity, by the way. Now, remember, these disciples have been with the Son of God for 3.5 years, and they testified, you stand out several things about the Lord Jesus Christ and his testimony. First of all, when it comes to the personal witness from the Christian, I want you to notice now that they're testifying his virtuous life. Look, if you please, at Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Let's look at verse 34. God is not a respecter of persons. We just read just a couple minutes ago. Verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. Amen? Verse 37, that word I say ye know, which was published. This is Peter's sermon in front of a group of people in Cornelius' house. And Cornelius was a Gentile. Amen. And verse 37, the word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began with Galilee after baptism, which John preached. Now watch this. Now listen to the verse. Here it is now. Look at it. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Peter said, I want to testify, Cornelius, of his virtuous life. He went about doing good. We read here about doing miracles, and all of his miracles were good miracles. And Peter said, I want you to know that I was there when these things happened. I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. Cornelius and your friends, are y'all listening? Amen. He turned water into wine. And Peter said, I know that's true. And Peter said, he walked on water. And Peter said, I'm telling you, I was there. I saw him do it. And Peter said, he raised a little girl from the dead, Jairus' daughter. And Peter said, I was there when I saw him do that. He healed the lepers. I saw them. That was disease from birth, and Jesus spoke, and they was literally healed. And Jesus said, Cornelius, I saw all this. I saw it. He said, He cast out devils and demons there, and people who were possessed. I saw him with my own eyes, and Jesus literally healed them. That was a witness. That was a witness for Jesus Christ. And I tell you what a Savior we have. I don't know about you, but one time I was blind, but brothers and sisters in Christ, I could see now. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He's my way. He's the truth. He's my life. And I can't make it without Jesus Christ. Yes, there's been storms. There have been devils fighting me. Devils after devil trying to start this Christian school, Brother Swinton. Trying to build a church for the cause of Christ. And the devil keeps coming. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, Son, I got you. Son, I got you. No matter what that old split toe's going to do, I would say, hey, you got to believe in me. You got to trust me. I tell you, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one day he's coming back, and I'm going to come back with him on that right before the millennium reign. And I'm going to come back. He's going to be on a white stallion horse and 10,000 of his saints. I used to say, it doesn't matter if there's a white horse or me. It could be even a donkey I'll ride back with him. Woo-hoo! It's good stuff. Somebody's got to hold my mule. I'm about to shout, amen. Amen and amen and amen. But I want you to know today we can still see that. We can see Jesus changing the lives of people today. We can see that God can take an old drunkard and save him and turn him not only to a sober man, but a God-fearing man. We can see God when he comes into the heart of a believer today, he works a miracle of salvation, and they begin to walk differently. And they begin to talk differently and live differently. And I can see it. People begin to say, wow, there goes someone who knows Jesus Christ. Amen. He went about doing all good. And this is what Jesus is all about, that all should come into repentance. Amen. He'd do us some of us good if we could repent from some of our sins. You see, our prayers are not being answered like they should because we got hidden secret sins in our lives. You got to get rid of them. You got to get rid. You got to forsake those sins and focus your eyes on the great one. Amen. Amen. Please, from the message, we can learn about the need of salvation to all the world. Yes, Cornelius was a good, respected man, but he still needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, not only did Peter testify about Jesus' victorious life, but he testified about the death of his Lord and Savior. And by the way, that's necessary. People need to know that Jesus had died for them, and he is the only way, the only one who died for man's sins. Y'all know Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards them, towards us, while he was yet sinners, Christ died. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yeah, it's all about Jesus, amen. I want y'all to notice verse 39, or text there. And we are witnesses of all things. Oh, my. Witnesses, here's that word. Some of y'all looking pale out there. Witnesses, hey, you're a witness, amen. That's what Paul, he's preaching in this little room here. And we are witness of all things which he did, both in the land of Jews and Jerusalem. Notice the next line, whom they slew and hung on a tree. He died
died for me. He died for you. Now listen, he didn't die for his own sins because he didn't have any sins. We know 1 Peter 2:22 in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. He was without sin. He died for the sins of others. And he was buried and rose again on the third day. And up from the grave he arose. Oh, he may not be here in the flesh, but I guarantee you there's others in this room that has his image. And God needs you to set the example, to be all you can be. Oh, the world's not getting any better. Heaven is watching, hell is waiting. Cornerstone, what we're going to do? What we're going to do? Well, he may not be here in the flesh, but there are others who are made in his image. But that's not all that Peter testified about. He also testified there was a victorious resurrection of Christ. You all see that in the scriptures as you follow along with me? There was that personal witness of the born-again believers that Peter spoke about, and now Peter talks about the victorious resurrection of Christ. Now, Peter didn't stop there. In Acts chapter 10, verse 39, he said, yes, they slew him. Yes, they hung him on a tree. And verse 40 says that death couldn't even keep him. Listen, because God raised him up on the third day. God listened and God showed him openly. And scriptures prove that after the resurrection, 500 people seen Jesus. After the resurrection. In fact, the scripture says that. That's in, I believe, in 1 Corinthians. I can't remember what chapter, 10 or 11, right in there. It speaks of 500. Chapter 11, I believe, where that's found there. But listen, that's strong evidence. Don't y'all think that? If you believe that word of God being true, you got to say amen. You got to believe every word in that. If you think that Bible's got contradictions in it, you're going to have trouble getting to heaven. Because that's a compass to heaven right there in your lap. That's the best family manual you own. And I love that King James Bible. And I won't preach out of nothing else. That is the true word of God. I don't need man's opinion on the NIV and all this other stuff. What I need is the true word of God. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Shame on that old devil. Oh, yeah. It didn't stop there. In Acts 10:39, he said, yes, they slew him. My, my, my. And Peter said, we are witnesses to that fact. Now, I wonder in this congregation this morning, there would be enough evidence that Jesus Christ is alive? Huh? Can the city of McAllister see the church not just within these four walls of this building, as we say we serve a risen Savior, but outside these four walls of this church, in places we live and walk, and even the air we breathe? Will this city know if we serve a risen Savior because of our lives? What kind of testimony do we have? Hey, we get saved. Whoopee, that's good stuff. But there ought to be a change in your life. It ought to be something different about you. The beard and the drinking and all the cursing, all that. You shouldn't have a habit doing that. You see, true repentance means business with God. That means never doing it again if it's truly repented of. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. I wonder if there will be enough evidence to prove that Jesus has changed our life. When was the last time someone had to ask you at work or at a visiting kin folks, and someone asked you, shh, man, don't be talking about Jesus no more? When someone asked you to be, say, hey, would you keep quiet about Jesus? Man, you got scriptures all over your desk and all that stuff. We don't want to hear that stuff. Hey, if there has nobody in your lifetime since you've been saved, let me say that, has never said that to you, I'd be really thinking about my salvation this morning. You see, no matter what, we are a witness for the cause of Christ. You can't hide it. You can't run from it. So what have we been doing for God? Amen. What have we been doing for God? What have we been doing for God? Wow. Well, y'all getting quiet on me. Some of y'all got that old me look, and some of y'all got that, I could hear some nuts going off in the head there. You're doing there.
loose bolts, whatever y'all want to call it. When was the last time somebody asked you to be quiet? And that's what Peter said. Cornelius, I want to start by telling you something about Jesus Christ. And I want you to give. I want to give you my personal testimony of what I've seen him do in my life. Can you testify that this morning? If I ask you to testify, give a testimony this morning about your salvation, will you be willing enough to stand at that chair and tell us about what God has done for you, how God has changed your life? If you're still doing these ungodly habits, you're still going to the nightclubs and the casinos and got to have a beer here and a beer there, there's something wrong in the way you got born. Because my Bible tells me there's a change in your life. And when you get a change in your life, Brother Jeremiah, you can't stop by talking about Jesus. Amen. Amen. You be showing up for man's work day. Amen. Amen. You be coming out of Wednesday night service saying, man, I need some of the more. Feed me, preacher. Feed me. Amen. That's good stuff. Man, I thank God I'm saved. Amen. There's something about that spirit this morning. Man, Amen. My. I tell you, somebody's going to have to hold my suspenders here. As I stated earlier in the beginning of the message, what if you got a phone call? What if you got a phone call and they said, would you come over to my home and tell me about Jesus? What kind of excuses you make? Well, I'm too busy. I can't do it right now. Sorry, man, I know I'm your buddy there at the job site, but I just can't come over because my wife has got me doing a lot of chores. But I tell you what I could do. I send my preacher. You know, talking about testimonies in churches, Brother Swinner, he's going to testify to the fact that this is true, what I'm about to say. You know, I know this had happened because we have had testimony services before in this church, and it's hard to get anybody literally to raise their hand or stand up at their seat to testify. It's hard to get anybody to raise their hand, much less to go to the lost person's house or a co-worker at a job site and say, here, let me tell you about how God saved me. That's true. It's in all the churches. We have folks claiming Christianity or salvation, but there's no fruit of their salvation. Now, y'all still with me? Some of y'all got that far away, distant look again. I'm just trying to get you to realize before we sit here with a pious look and say, oh, yes, preacher, I do that. I do it. Now, listen, if we would give testimonies this morning, as I stated, what kind of testimony would you give? Huh? Oh, preacher, I want to testify what Jesus had done for me in my life. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is it so hard to tell people about Jesus? Y'all remember when Jesus found us? Man, I was the worst teenager there ever was. Y'all heard my testimony. I was 16, 17 years old, sneaking into nightclubs. I thank God I'm saved. Ain't it strange that we go all out of the way to invite people to birthday parties, graduations, baby showers, and as a newborn arrives, we want everybody to know. But to ask you to share the gospel, what God has done for you, we become absolutely quiet on this issue. We become silent. Don't forget, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33 is still in that blessed book. Wherefore shall confess me before man, will I confess also before my Father. But whosoever shall deny me before man, listen, it says, will I also deny before my Father. Well, in other words, he said, if you confess me, I'm going to confess you to my Father. But if you deny me before man, I'm going to deny you. Y'all need to read your Bible. Please understand that.
We're never going to learn how important life is as a Christian if we don't get in the book. You got to get in your book to learn. It draws you closer to heaven. Your brain ought to be a sponge. And if you absorb that word on Monday through all the way through Sunday, you read a chapter here, a chapter there, you're absorbing that thing and you become more like Christ. You become more like Christ. Not only Peter was had a personal witness for Christ, but Peter had the prophetic witness of the Scriptures. I want y'all to look at verse 36, 37, and we're going to touch on it. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel and was published throughout all Judea. Can I tell you something about this Bible? My Bible, your Bible, it's great. It's good stuff. It's real. It's true. It is the will of God. It is the will of God. It is the will of God for all mankind. It's a living message. It's a living book. And it's powerful, and it is. That's what I'm preaching from this morning. It is a true word of God, and I will never apologize for preaching out of the King James Bible. That's my rule of faith and practice. I got to have something to guide my life through this journey, and I'm going through this journey only one time, teenager. You're traveling through this life only one time, and you must make the best of it, because if you go to the left, you're going to reap what you sow. Ask some of us parents. You're going to reap what you sow. Amen and amen and amen. I will preach this King James Bible Sunday nights. I preach it on Wednesday nights, and it's what I preach from next Sunday too. Why? Because it's the Word of God, and the Word of God convicts. Please understand, it convicts. It's God's mind. It convicts. I gotta have it. Amen. When one reads the Word, it ought to convict you of your sins in such a way that you are brought to repentance before Almighty God. How many of y'all read the Bible? I know you have. How many of you read that one verse and all of a sudden you felt that big? That's the Holy Spirit dealing with your spirit. It's called conviction. Amen and amen and amen. Let's look at verse 43. We got to move on. Acts chapter 10 there. To him give all the prophets witness. Remember the Old Testament prophets, they only had the Old Testament scrolls. I'm talking about the Holy Word of God written before the cross now. And outside, they did have the outside of the anointing. That's what I'm talking about. But we're talking about the scrolls and parchments of the Bible, the Old Testament. That's all they had. Y'all with me? Amen. Peter was talking about that's all he had as far as the Bible was concerned at that time. And he said, verse 43, and to him gave all the prophets witness. And that's through his name, one name, Jesus. Now please listen to me this morning. The people in the Old Testament looked towards the cross. And we that say, we look towards back towards the Calvary. We're looking back and we're saying, wow, man, what a Savior we had. And some of y'all need to tell your Catholic friends, hey, the cross is empty. Amen. Jesus is not on the cross no more. He's up in heaven. And also he's supposed to live in our hearts. It's a glorious day to be saved, ain't it, Brother Swinney? Glorious day. It's Jesus, Cornelius. I can see Paul. He's in this sermon there. It's Jesus, Cornelius. Do you understand? It's about Jesus. Oh, I can see Peter reading from the scroll of Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. It's about Jesus, the sin-conquering, life-changing, redeeming message that Jesus saves. That's what Peter was trying to tell the group there at Cornelius' house. These were Gentiles. And I'm a Gentile. Amen. That's what Peter was talking about. God gave all the prophets witness. That's what your scripture says through his name. Who? Jesus. And please understand, Jesus is found on every page of that Bible. He's found on every page of that Bible. You can see him on every page. He's the one who makes the Bible come alive. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus and him alone. Again, verse 43. I got to move on. The latter part of that verse. Look at towards the end of verse 43. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Peter knew that Jesus was written on every page. He knew that. Oh, we are saved today by the blood of the crucified one. Cornelius, are you listening? For by grace are you saved through your faith. What is he saying there, verse 43? This is what he's saying, Cornelius. All of those Old Testament prophets were writing about Jesus, the precious Lamb. And the theme about the Bible is Jesus. Now catch this. The hero of the Bible is not Peter. Y'all stay awake here. Stay awake here or we're going to go next extra 30 minutes. Amen. The hero of the Bible is not Peter. And it's not Paul. And by the way, the hero of this church is not this pastor. The hero of this church, the hero of that Bible is the person of Jesus Christ. If you read the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and you miss Jesus Christ, you have missed the greatest message of all. The message of the Bible is Jesus. Even in the days of Abraham and his son Isaac, back in Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac going up to Mount Moriah. And folks, that's the same mountain today, which is called Calvary. The exact mountain that you find in Genesis chapter 22. There Abraham was going up to Mount Moriah to do what? He was going up there to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, a symbolic picture of one day Jesus, Son of God, is going to be crucified. Oh, Cornelius, do you see the picture here? It's about Jesus that one day on that very same mountain and God the Father will offer God the Son as a sacrifice for our sins. In Exodus, we find the Passover lamb as a picture of Jesus, our Redeemer. When I see the blood, I love that. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. It didn't say I see the tongue. It said when I see the blood. Amen. Amen. In Leviticus, now say with me, Jesus on every page of that book, in the book of Leviticus. Every page is a picture of Jesus Christ because when the people would sin, the high priest would lay his hands on the head of a goat. Amen. I ain't talking about the politicians. Amen. It could be. I don't know. You have to ask Jesus when you get up to heaven. But when the people would sin, the high priest would lay his hands on the head of a goat, and he would lead that goat out into the wilderness. Hello. Just as our great scapegoat was led away into the wilderness, and his life was sacrificed as a payment for our sins. And every sacrifice, every mention in the book of Leviticus is a picture. It's a picture, it's a symbolic picture of Jesus Christ. Hebrew tells us that one sacrifice ever saved anybody in the Old Testament. It was just a symbolic picture of the real Lamb of God that's going to come to shed his blood for you and me. That's how much you're loved this morning. That's how much you're loved this morning. Cornerstone, what have we been doing? What have we been doing for God? This is a true witness. Jesus is alive forevermore. Yes, and his life was sacrificed as a payment for our sins. The Lamb of God which take away the sins of the world. In the book of Zechariah, we see the wounds and we see the nail scar hands. In Malachi, we literally see John the Baptist spoken of as a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And what was all this about? Salvation. It's about salvation. Hey, if you're saved, you're not going to the devil's hell. You're going to heaven. So don't sit there like you've been eating persimmons. Grin. Amen. Grin. Be happy. When somebody see you uptown, don't have that long face like you've been eating, drinking pickle juice. Grin. What? It just goes, why are you smiling for a customer? Yeah, I'm checking out. Why are you smiling for, mister? Because I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Yeah. And then that person is all decked out with blue hair and all that fishing lures in the face. And I say, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to, oh, one of those holy rollers. Well, I'm going to tell you something. All you got to do is just smile and say, hey, listen, young person, I want to give you this track. There's a map to heaven on the backside of it. It doesn't matter if they had 10 tons of lures. It doesn't. It doesn't matter if all the alarms at the airport goes off. You witness to them. It doesn't matter what color they are. You witness to them. Because my Savior doesn't, hey, say, there was a white one I want to save, and there was a Mexican I want to. God doesn't work like that. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Cornelius, are you listening? That's what he's saying. And he had all his friends and servants there, Dr. Swinner. It's good stuff, ain't it? Makes you want to shout like a Baptist Pentecost. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I love God. And I know what that Bible could do to us if we just get into the Word. And I know our marriages would be better if we just get into the Word. Amen. There's no perfect marriage. Please understand that. But maintenance work's got to be, must be done. You got to work on it. Read your book. It'll salvage your marriage. You got to step out and leave the world alone. Get alone and get alone with God. Amen. Amen and amen. My, that was just point 63. We got 50 more to go. I'm just teasing. Folks, we should be able to take the Old Testament and lead somebody to the Lord. We should be able to do that. Genesis 22 is a good place to start. You'll see the cross of Calvary there on Mount Moriah. And I had it in my notes to just turn there and just open the Bible and start preaching out of Genesis 22. I'd done that one time before here, probably 7-8 years ago. Peter was saying, hey, Cornelius, I've got the scriptures right in front of me. And listen, it's out of the Old Testament. It is all about Jesus. Verse 39, let's go, let's move on. And we are witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ. And church, are we not witnesses? Amen. Are we living, and listen, are we living the kind of lives that someone would say, come over to my house? Hey, listen, I got to know about this Jesus. Or I got some kin folks coming over at 4 o'clock today. Would y'all come by and just, drink some coffee with me? And I open the floor up for you and tell me about your Jesus. Are we living a life that testifies a risen Savior? Or are we spotted up like the Dalmatian dog, the spotted up pirate dog? Are we spotted up by the world? Now look with me real fast at verse 44, Acts 10:44. Yeah, everybody there? Say amen. Amen. While Peter yet spake these words, let's stop right there for a moment there. Peter is speaking. Now listen, for many of us know how awesome God is, correct? Amen. The Bible says, Peter was speaking these words. Church, I'm speaking the same words this morning. Huh? Think about it. Peter may have been speaking a couple thousand years ago, but listen, he has the same spirit I got. I got the same spirit that Peter got. There's no difference. Just 2,000 years between. The same Lord over 2,000 years ago is still God of my life today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shame on the devil. There's nothing different. Not the size or color. The same Holy Spirit that was using Peter at Cornelius' house can use any pastor. He can use me today. Amen. Now that excites me. Amen. That excites me. Because I know that if I can have the power of God and the Holy Spirit can move in this service, there may be Corneliuses out there that may get saved this morning. Amen. Amen. So Peter are speaking these words and the Holy Ghost falls. It falls upon him. And then word, look at it. The Bible says, verse 44, it fell upon those who had heard the word. Have heard. Look at verse 45. We'll go home. Let's start 45. Let's look at that. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out, whoopee, the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues. Hey, I tell you what, there's nothing wrong with saying amen. It's all in the Bible. Amen. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then pray they him to tarry a certain day. Oh, man, Preacher Peter, we got to stay. Y'all stay here. You friends here, your brothers in Christ there. Stay here. Man, these co-workers want to know more about Jesus. When was the last time you had a burden when you went to that church, got convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and you say, man, I got to go back. I got to go back for more. Hey, it's feeding time, Cornerstone. It's exactly feeding time this morning. How many times y'all said that? You thought it? Amen. So now, let's see how many comes back Sunday night. Hello. If it's a burden for you to come to church, for you to be in church, listen, you may not be ready for heaven. What keeps you out of church may not get you to heaven. Now, only body knows you're saved is him. But pastors, they have the radar. The preachers, evangelists, and missionaries, they have radar. And they can tell, Jesus said, you can know they're my disciples by their fruit. Right. Amen. What kind of fruit are we bearing? Don't tell me you're saved and you're cussing your children out. That's not Christ-like. I understand when you get saved, you got all, there's all of a sudden there's temptation. The devil's going not he's not going to leave you alone. You used to drink, he's still going off your beer. But I'm going to tell you something. God is stronger than that thing down there. God is stronger than that split toe. And the church, please understand. If you're truly saved, you ought to have a burden to be with other Christians. You're truly saved, you ought to say, I want to go to a church where that man of God is not afraid to preach. Amen. Amen. I want to go to church with my kids. Instead of entertainment, I want my kids to learn about Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the kind of church I want my kids to go. My grandchildren, we have some here. That's the kind of church I want my kids to be brought up in. I know what a liberal church is. I came out of a liberal church. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. That does excite me. Let me get back to where I was here. You know, I was talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Peter has. I have the same Spirit. Amen. Now, that's where I left off in my last point. We just read 45 through 48. Okay? But listen, if the Holy Spirit did this then, don't you think he could do it today, back then? Don't you think the same Spirit, what happened in the days of Apostle Paul and Peter, even on the day of Pentecost? Couldn't you imagine we could turn this town upside down if all of us could have a revival? You know why we can't have a revival? Because you can't control it. Huh? Think about it. A revival is to revive the people that's gotten cold in endeavor. We want to talk about the pastor. Talk about each member. But did you see, did you hear what she said to me? Hey, that's down south, all right? That's the church in the corner down here. You're never going to have the power of God, the blessed God on your life if you, listen, as long as you got that long tongue that reach around this auditorium, you got to get rid of it. What you ought to be talking about is Jesus. Amen. Some of our own kids are not in church today because we have slandered others. Hello. Hello. Read the book of James. It's a good book to learn, be taught out of. So since I already lost some of you there, but we're going for another 30 minutes. But if the Holy Spirit, remember, did work the way back then, convict these brothers in Christ. He's going to do it today, and that's from the Word. That's truth. That is right from the Word of God. Now listen, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and he says, amen. Now stay with me. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and he says, amen. And when the Holy Spirit says amen to your heart, he's saying this, it's true. It's true. What he's saying is true. And listen to him. He's preaching the Word of God. Hey, if you're not saved today, it's the Holy Spirit of God that's whispering to you, saying, it's true. It's true. Listen to the preacher. He's right. There's a hell and there's a heaven. Listen to the preacher. That's the Holy Spirit conviction. Is he convicting someone this morning? Is he convicting somebody? Is he speaking to someone saying, hey, come unto me, all you that heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Some of y'all think you can attack the devil, fight the world, and all this means that, listen, you ain't going to be, you're never going to win with the devil. You're going to have God to fight your battles. Some of us say, God over here, church over there, I'm going to take on this divorce situation myself. No, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. You young folks, you better make sure it's the will of God you marry him or her. Amen? Amen? Amen and amen. Yes. Is he speaking to someone this morning? Has God been whispering your name? Has he? If you got a phone call, or if you get a phone call today or tonight, and they ask you to come over to share the gospel of Jesus, can you literally do it? If I called your name from the pulpit and say, hey, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, would you tell us the day you got saved and what you've been doing for God since then? Always be ready. Hey, you sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Always be ready. Amen. Don't forget now, and I'm closing Acts 1:8, but you should receive power after that. The Holy Ghost should come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. This isn't saying you may be. And this is elementary preaching. This is easy preaching. You shall be witnesses. Witnesses. You see, we're going to have to accept God as God and his word as being his word. That's the bottom line this morning. If you listen, if not, you're never going to understand how to be an effective witness. You're never going to understand that. I don't know about you, but when I stand for God, I tell you, my sins in my book is this big, Dr. Swinner. But I don't want to stand for God without saying, hey, I led one person to the Lord. Hello. We're all going to stand personally, one-on-one with God. And I don't know about you, but I won't be able to look Jesus in the eyes. I'm going to be down at his feet, using my tears to wipe his feet, because I'm not worthy of heaven. But by grace are you saved through your faith. Amen. As we stand, please. Perhaps there's some here this morning knowing he's been convicting you. He's been reproving you. He wants you to make some things right. Perhaps there's somebody standing here this morning. You're about to do some stupid thing in your life. Holy Spirit saying, don't do it. Don't go there. To some, perhaps it's to get saved or dealing with a Holy Spirit conviction. I don't know, that's between you and God. And to others, to make some things right, as I stated, get rid of those habits. Some of you teenagers, you're very disrespectful to your parents. You need to make things right. You continue disobeying your parents. You read Exodus chapter 20. Amen. I believe also in Colossians chapter 3. Your life be short. Amen. Perhaps this one here this morning, you just got a bad habit you can't let go. Yeah, you can let go of that. Amen. Amen and amen.